Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the powerfully prophetic book of Daniel. Follow along as Pastor Steve shows us the stunning precision of God's prophecies. At the same time, we'll see how God equipped and protected Daniel to walk in integrity and power while living in the midst of the most powerful and enticing culture the world had ever seen. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Imagine the big guffaws and deep belly laughs of the naysayers walking around. He's building a boat in the yard, and the water's way over there because it's going to waterfall out of the heavens. Never happened before. Uniformitarianism. Did you go to school? Nothing ever changes. Until it started to flood. And then the Bible says they all rushed the ark. But who closed the door? God did. So the three groups of people, just before that happened, they were facing a major judgment of the Lord, a worldwide judgment. There was a group of people that didn't believe anything that Noah said. They're going to perish. There's a group of people, Noah, Mrs. Noah, and the three boys and their wives. They're going to be supernaturally sealed in and protected through this judgment of water. And there's one more group. It's one fella. You want to see him? We're in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch, verse 21, he lived 65 years and he begot Methuselah. Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. Verse 22. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Now that is fascinating to me. Before Jesus' finished work on the cross, where now we can come boldly before the throne of grace, any of us, was it kind of cool to walk with God? Ask the high priests who went into the Holy of Holies and didn't do one detail exactly right. The Talmud records three such high priests died on the other side of the veil and had to be pulled out. Okay, you go in there. I'm not going to go in there. You go in there. I'm not going to go in there. Because before Jesus paid for all sin, the presence of the Lord was a fearful place indeed. Not for Enoch. Check it out. And Enoch walked with God. Hey, that's kind of a New Testament sort of description, wouldn't you agree? How many of you walk with God now? And Enoch walked with God, and now watch this. And he was not, for God took him. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived, whoa. What was that? God took him? What do you mean he took him? Enoch is a model of the church. Here comes God's judgment barreling down the eschatological train track. Three groups of people were the last generation. There was almost everybody who didn't believe anything that Noah said. They're going to perish in the judgment. There is Noah and his family. He's going to be supernaturally sealed, right? 144,000? The Jews. And there's one group, albeit one fella, he goes out before. There are people that say, nah, the church goes out in the middle of the tribulation. Church goes out at the end of the tribulation. Church doesn't go out at all. If it's really important, God will represent it several times and in several locations. And the rapture is so important, it's all through the scriptures. If you'll see it, here's one. Today, like in the days of Noah, there are three groups of people, aren't there? There are the people that will not listen to pastors or teachers or the Bible. Noah was a preacher of righteousness and no one was listening to him. They're going to perish. And there's a group of people that are going to be supernaturally sealed the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And they literally have a seal on their forehead that all of the judgments don't touch them. And there's another group of people modeled by Enoch who will go out before. Back to the book of Matthew, and let's zoom to the end. Interesting that Jesus is pointing to the days of Noah as an understanding of the last generation before a great judgment. Hey, Harvest, we are the last generation. Jesus said so. Have we seen the budding of the fig tree? Then we are the last generation. And just like in the days of Noah, do your homework. Three groups of people were the last generation there. One didn't make it, one was seen through supernaturally, and one group was taken out before. Why? Because they walked with God. Verse 40 in Matthew 24, some more detail about this taking out. Verse 40, then two men will be in a field and one will be taken. Circle that word. This is an important word. The Greek word there is para lambano. Para means come alongside. Lambano means to lift up off the earth. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, which is to say the most common of household chores, and one will be taken. There's your word again, para lambano. Some people don't believe this section is talking about the rapture. They believe it's talking about the judgments and the seals of Revelation chapter 6 through 19. I don't think so, and here's why. Because the Bible is always, everybody say always, always its own best explainer. There are only three occasions when this word, para lambano, are mentioned. For you note takers, the first one, Matthew 1, verse 20. I'll read it to you. Joseph, the son of David, says the angel, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Para lambano. Number two, Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and his brother to a high mountain. That's the transfiguration. Took, para lambano. There it is again. And finally, John 14, verse 3. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you guys at the Last Supper. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's the same word, para lambano. That where I am, you may be also. The first mention of para lambano, to a bride. The second mention, to see Jesus glorified. And then the third mention, come up to heaven. Para lambano, to a bride, to see the glory and to come up to heaven. I don't think this is talking about judgment, do you? Everybody okay on that one? This is not talking about judgment. I know it isn't. Jesus is going to say, hey, Harvest, and hey, for you watching these last days in this generation, there's going to be three groups of people, here we go, in the church. Let's see group number one. Check it out. Verse 42. Watch, please circle that one. Watch, therefore, Harvest. Be looking and searching. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming in the rapture. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore you, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. There are going to be people in the church that are going to be watching, and I pray that that is us. Even reading these verses here today, we are trying to be good watchers. Biblical Christians are to watch. Yeah, but when you talk about the book of Revelation, still I get nervous. I get that. When humans are comfortable and their lives convenient, have you ever noticed the result is a stagnant heart? Israel, when things were going easy, Israel always drifted off into sin. There's a reason why God shakes things up, Harvest. I was going to read it to you, but I want you to see it. 1 John, book of 1 John chapter 3. I was going to read it to you, but I want you to see it in your Bible. Kind of know where it is on the page. If you have a highlighter or something, this is awesome too. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 2. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, still pages. You guys find it? Man, some of you haven't been to 1 John in a while, huh? Chapter 3, look at verse 2. Hey, harvest, or beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Oh, when the rapture comes, the new bodies are awesome. But we know that when He, Jesus, is revealed, right, rapture, we shall be like Him. Awesome. For we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3. And everyone, how many people? Everyone who has this hope, the hope of the rapture, in Him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. Let me rephrase that. Back to Matthew. If the notion of the real truth, that Jesus could come back at any time, that all the signs are there, Israel is in the land. The countries and the nations of Ezekiel 38 and 39 are in place. Thermonuclear warfare is a reality. It wasn't before the 1940s, as you know. Remember how Jesus said, unless I stop the battle of Armageddon, no flesh would be left on the earth. That was a technology statement. Also, satellite telecommunications. Yeah, in the book of Revelation, when the two witnesses are allowed to be killed, they lay dead for 3 days. And the Bible makes a tremendous mention. And the whole world sees their dead bodies. Before Sputnik and the rest, no one incident on any portion of the planet can be seen simultaneously throughout the entire earth. Can we now? For every one of Jesus' first coming prophecies, there's roughly about 8 or so about His second coming. Every one of those prophecies have been fulfilled, except for about 20%. And those 20% don't happen until after the book of Revelation begins. We are the last generation. Which group are we? The naysayers? What are you building that stupid ark for? Because it's going to rain. Dude, it's never rained. Nothing like that has ever happened. Are we that group? Are we watching harvest? That's why we teach Bible prophecy. Now verse 45, Matthew. Who then is faithful and a wise servant? You got to be watching, you got to be wise. Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master, when he comes, will find so doing, that is to say, about his father's business. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. Biblical Christians are watching, and biblical Christians are wise. They're taught correctly. They know doctrine. Oh, don't say doctrine in most churches these days. In the millennial reign, Jesus is making a case here. If you're ho-hum about his return, your place in the millennial reign will be greatly diminished. Why is that? Because you didn't have a correct understanding of who he is and how he works. In the millennial reign, he's not going to give you a large platform to speak, as it were. These are those in the church that are indifferent to Jesus' return. Verse 48. Now if that evil servant says in his heart, this is an interesting word, evil. It's the Greek word kakos. And it means something that once was good has gone bad. An instrument that's gone out of tune, kakos. A fruit that has gone bad, kakos. A servant that has gone bad, kakos. My master is delaying his coming. He's lost his passion, of 1 John 3, verse 3. Verse 49, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants. He's unmerciful, he's brutal. We don't do that today. Oh, really? What about when we are brutal to people on social media or gossip? To eat and to drink with the drunkards, carnality, self-indulgent, I go to a church based on how the church makes me feel. Not so much on what God's Word says. Verse 50, the master of that servant will come one day when he is not looking for him, because he's not watching, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him into two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that in heaven, in the millennial reign of the Lord, God says he needs us in our new bodies to be physical fulfillments of his administration. And some will be over 10 cities and some over no cities. What's the difference? It would appear how well we knew God's word, lived in obedience, even when it was inconvenient, it will determine our job, place, and position in the millennial reign with Christ. And now group number 3. This is the church now. This is the context of the church. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice that after hypocrites, there is a period, not a comma. That's why I believe this is group number 3. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who are those people? Those were the ones who never were truly saved in the first place. One last place, if you wouldn't mind, Revelation chapter 3. You're not watching because you're kind of concerned about other things other than him. God says, I get that. Revelation 3, look at verse 14. The seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, they're about real churches that really existed. But if you haven't heard, they're also about seven epochs of time that the church itself will go through. The Laodicean church, the key is in the name, Laos. So we're going to get our word laity, the typical people. Dosios is an idea of ruling. Let me sort of put it together for you. This Laodicean church of the end times, the people call the shots, not the shepherds. They tell the shepherd what it is he should teach. I know your works. This Laodicean church that will be true of the very last days church, they do a lot of stuff. And a lot of programs are going on there. I know about your programs, but you are neither cold nor hot. I would wish that you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will... That's not a very seeker-friendly term. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich. You drive by one of these Laodicean churches and the humans would swear, that's a slamming church. You've become wealthy and have need of nothing. If I were to name the church, you would know it. And somebody stole one service, their tithe. They counted it and they brought it into the main room. Somebody left the thing unattended and somebody walked out with it. Well, how much did you lose? Not a problem, said the pastor. We'll have plenty to cover. And the one service gave over $1 million. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, you can fix this Laodicean church. It's not too late. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the what? In the what? How many of you love when the fire of God comes to your life? I don't like that. I don't like it one little bit. It was one of the very last things you said to your disciples before you were taken. Hey, disciples of mine, there's going to be three groups of people occupying the pews, stuffing the attendances of multiple services in the last days. Most of them are there because of what they can get from it. I love my lifestyle, will say most. And if I shop far enough and long enough, I know I'll find a church that the pastor, him or her, will say to me, you're doing great. I went to a church not that long ago, and through the lobby on one side was a Disneyland-esque little vignette. Hugely expensive painted animals and elephants and literal bubble machines popping. Music playing. The little kids were drawn to it as easily as they were in any ride in Disneyland. Oh, the eyes got wide. But then when I went to that whole church service and sat through the message, my heart broke. I had to wait in a roped line, a serpentine back and forth. We were waiting for the service in front of us to get out. And then probably 25 plus doors opened at once. The first service piled out. The rope was lifted. We thundered into the room. Quickly, quickly, get your seat, quickly. They had the attention of four services that day, and not one time was there a mention of sin. Not one time was there a mention of, if you say that you love Jesus, is it important to you to do the things he says to do? Is it even mindful of you to stay away from the things he says to stay away from? And in love, no pastor said, you may look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, talk like a Christian, but are you saved? Have old things passed away? Have all things become new? Are you living with your boyfriend? Are you cheating on the job? You can't tell me I'm not saved, Pastor Steve. You're right. But God's Word says, if sin doesn't bother you, you might not be saved. And woe to you if you sat through service after service of a beautifully appointed church with bells and whistles and walked out feeling, woo, did I feel good with those songs. But if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ and tried as best you know how to die to sin, God's Word says you might not be saved. And many, not a few, many will say to me in that day, Judgment Day, Lord, Lord, what are you doing? Look at all the programs I went to. All the money I gave. I elected the elders of our church for crying out loud. Why am I going away from you? And I will have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But I spoke your name, and I sang the songs, and didn't you see the tears dripping down my face as I was moved by the music? Yeah, you were moved all right, but you didn't give all of your life to me. Because my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. Please, please, stop playing around with semantics. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not sure that you do, would you make it certain today? I want you to lift your hand right now and say, Lord Jesus, I am yours. I give you all of my life. I thank you for paying for all of my sin. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit and change me. All that I have is yours. Time, talent, and resources. Write my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, and now all of us said, Amen.
You've been listening to the powerfully prophetic Book of Daniel with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Daniel continues to show us that, because God so obviously knows and guides the future of nations, He certainly knows and guides our future as well. What a great comfort that we may not know what the future holds, but Daniel shows us who does hold the future. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.